Luke chapter 6 this morning, the Bible says in verse number 24, Luke chapter 6 and verse number 24, "But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." Let's ask God's blessings upon our time this morning. Father, we humbly come before your throne today and ask you to work as no human being can work. It is my responsibility as a preacher of the Word of God to give truth. But then it is my responsibility to step aside, and as the truth is given and the Word of God is revealed and demonstrated and shown in message, it is my responsibility to step aside and to pray the Holy Spirit that He would bring forth conviction upon each one as you see fit and necessary today. Lord, I pray again that you would direct each one to their standing before you. If there be those that do not know Jesus Christ, I pray that today they would be convicted of their sin, that they would be drawn to the Savior, that they would be saved today. Lord, I pray for each believer as we look at these warnings from Almighty God. I pray that you would stir us. May we understand that there should be a sharp contrast between the way that we are living our lives and what we see in the general population of society. And I pray that there would be a stark difference, that we'd be the salt and the light that you'd have us to be. What a theme in the song, "Beneath the Cross of Christ." I pray, Father, that you would find us not running from that symbol, but that we would cling ever more closely to the truth of the shed blood of Jesus, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And as we consider these verses and really the application from them, we understand that all the more people will express their hatred for the very thing that could change their eternal destination. I pray that you direct my thoughts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Woe unto you. The word woe appears 98 times in our English Bible. The Greek word for woe appears 36 times in the New Testament. The definition is that of a primary exclamation of grief. Woe! It is, as it was stated in our English classes, an interjection. It highlights something that is to come. We think of that exclamation point, the line and the dot at the bottom, and we recognize that any word right before that is to draw our attention. There are words that go much along with this word woe, the word burden, the word anguish, calamity, catastrophe, disaster, trouble, affliction, agony, depression, heartache, heartbreak, regret, sadness, that of grieving. You know, we receive warnings all the time. You can think of general life today, almost everything comes with a warning. It's hard to imagine that we must put on all of the bags that surround goods that we purchase the warning, "Do not place over your head, can cause suffocation." That would seem to be unnecessary. And yet apparently, I guess, in the annals of time, someone had no idea that it's a bad idea to put that over your head because it could cause suffocation. There's always the nature of the toys that you no doubt buy for your children. I found in the purchasing of toys for our children at Christmas time, it took longer to get it out of the box than it did for my children to play with it before they broke it. and all the screws and all the attachments and how they put it into stuff. And I thought to myself, man, who in the world is working in some location in a remote part of the world that puts 37 screws into this toy so it does not come out of the package before it's delivered at Christmas time? They have a lot more patience than I have. And yet they put warnings on all that. Do not allow children to swallow the screws. Yeah, that's probably a good idea. Nowadays, there's warnings everywhere. Warnings about this, warnings about that. You say, okay, I understand I have to heed these warnings. Isn't it interesting now that on the back of cigarette packages and anything related to tobacco, it basically goes through a basic statement that says, if you buy this product and use this product, you will die from cancer. You would think that if they read that, okay, I probably should take that in and heed that warning. I think that should have some kind of an influence on my life and whether or not I'm going to do this. There's warnings everywhere. Mom and dads give warnings. Do not play in the road. Don't go out to that center line and play hopscotch. That's a bad idea. They give warnings all the time. They say something like this: do not put your hand on the stove. It will hurt. Moms and dads give warnings. Teachers give warnings. Police give warnings. Can I share this one with you? Last night, I am headed to pick up one of our deacons, Brother Reuben. And my wife and I are going to pick him up. And as we're cresting the hill right to the stop sign right there at his house, to be forthright and honest, I was not paying attention. It was 35 miles an hour. They only live a mile from our house. And somehow an officer of the law was coming the other direction. And he clocked me. And he pulls in right behind a driveway that I've just passed. And he begins to back out, and my wife says, Todd, I think you were probably going too fast. I'm like, how could I have been going too fast? I'm going uphill. I'm coming to a stop sign. It couldn't have been that bad. But I really didn't know. And so immediately after the stop sign, I pulled into Brother Reuben's house. And as I pull in, Brother Reuben comes out of his house, and he's on the phone with the law enforcement officer. And here's how this works out. If this were not true, you would doubt me telling you and being honest in this. It's better for me to tell you than to have him spread it in the next temple trumpet. So he walks out and he says these words. Yes, I know him. It's my pastor. And I thought he was kidding. And then the officer pulls down the way and he's going the other direction. And I'm like, well, if he would have caught me before I got to Reuben's house, can you imagine how that conversation would have gone? Yes, I'm a pastor. I said it to pick up one of my deacons. Yes, it's Reuben. Oh, man. It's not often that police give us warnings, is it? But I was thankful that, and I said, please tell him when you see him again, I'll watch my speed on that road. I really was not paying attention to the speedometer. The rest of the night, Reuben was paying attention to my speedometer. There's warnings that abound. This morning, I want you to see warnings that are not given from the federal government. Warnings that come to us from mom and dad, warnings that come from grandparents, warnings that come from teachers or law enforcement. It's not even a warning that comes from a federal judge or somebody in the judicial arena. These are warnings from deity. And if we're going to pay attention to any kind of a warning, I believe this is the kind of warning we ought to heed. There's four areas that I want to give to you real quick here in these three verses. Will you notice with me the four woes? These four warnings that God gives, and he says, boy, you better be alert. You better be alert. If you're going to pay attention to anything, Oh, it's a wise idea to watch that warning label and it says, do not place this bag over your head. It's a good idea to listen to that warning, do not speed in this location. You will be caught. You will be given a citation. It's a good idea to listen to mom and dad when they say, hey, don't put your hand on the stove. It's a warning, lest you would be burned. But I tell you, if you're going to listen to any warning this morning, listen to the warnings from Almighty God. If you have a pen and a piece of paper this morning, you're taking notes. Number one, notice with me, the deity, Almighty God, gives us a warning against the pursuit of material possessions. Woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Immediately people would say, oh, well, the Bible's telling me that I can't have material possessions. Nothing could be further from the truth. Oh, the Bible's telling me that I can't be wealthy in this world's eyes and in the sustenance that I gain to myself. No, my friend, if you go to the Word of God, some of the wealthiest people in the Bible were some of the most godly people in the Bible. But there is a difference in how we approach the nature of the wealth that God has afforded to us. Can I rehearse this verse with you that you know so well? 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. There's certainly a blessing to be able to have the necessities of life. There's a blessing to be able to have some of the wants of life. There's a blessing to have the proverbial cash in the wallet or money in the checking account to be able to go out and buy and sell goods and to be able to have sustenance. But that cannot be the place of my confidence because it is ever fleeting. And so there is a warning against the pursuit of material possessions. Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 25, we have the in-depth story of a man who comes to Jesus Christ. And he says, Jesus, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus walks through several things, identifying the fact that he was not perfect, even though he was claiming perfection. And he said, listen, I'm perfect in all these things. What lack I yet? And the Lord said, go and sell all that thou hast and follow me. And the Bible says he walked away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he had great riches. He met Jesus Christ face to face and walked away with the Lord because of what he had in his bank account, because of what he had in his wallet, because of what he had back at the house. He walked away from eternal life because his pursuit was all of the stuff that this world offers. But he missed out on what Jesus offered. And the Bible says that the Lord then turned to his disciples, and he said, how hardly a rich man can enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? My friend, wealth will never take an individual to heaven. No man ever had a U-Haul trailing his hearse. There's no way to take anything with you. The Bible says there in the book of Job, naked came I into the world, and naked shall I return. Blessed be the name of Almighty God. My friend, in this life, you need to know Jesus Christ is your Savior. If your pursuit is all that the world has to offer, there is going to come a time where it is nothing but rusted, worthless junk. I think I've shared with you before that back in the early 90s, I started to get into baseball cards. And I liked collecting baseball cards. And my friend and I collected baseball cards. And the baseball card industry was just booming at that time. And they were producing card after card after card after card. And there was a Maryland Terrapin basketball player that graduated from University of Maryland, and everybody just thought, this guy is going to be the best in the NBA. And so one card company created a four-card set of that player. The first card had so many cards in production. The second card had fewer in production. The third and then the fourth was really rare because this player was going to be so incredible. Do you know what all those four cards are worth now? Zip, zilch, nada, nothing. And you know what? There's a lot of people that poured tens of hundreds of dollars because they just had to have it. That is a very simple illustration that gives us an idea of the pursuit that so many have towards the possessions of this world. And my friend, in the end, they are worth nothing if it costs you the Lord Jesus Christ. Almighty God says, woe. Woe that are rich, if you've received your consolation. How many have been on their deathbed and in this life they've been billionaires, but for the life that is to come, they are in desperate poverty as they lie there in their deathbed. They said, I'd give it all up if I could just guarantee my future in eternity. Is this you today? For the youngest of the people that are gathered here in the auditorium, oh, there's nothing wrong with goods and services and wants and some needs and so forth. I'm thankful for a roof over our head. I'm thankful for a vehicle that functions sometimes too fast against my own desire. But I'm thankful for all the stuff that we've been blessed with. But I tell you what, everything that I have actually belongs to Almighty God. It's His. And how to function in such a way as to say, Lord, how do you want me to steward everything that you've allowed to come through my hands? Number one, there is a warning against the pursuit of material possessions. Number two, verse number 25, there's a warning against the presumption of provisions. Look what the Bible says in the beginning of verse number 25. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Do you enjoy going to buffets? It's interesting that we buffet ourselves at a buffet. Normally, I don't care for buffets because when you go out there, the food may have been sitting there for quite a while, let's just be honest. You don't know how long it's been sitting there. And so you put that amount onto your plate and you say, I think that's going to be really good. And then you get it back to the table, take a few bites, and you're like, that's not good. It's been sitting out there for too long. Do you like buffets? Oh, Pastor, I can't wait to eat at buffets. I prefer the old style that they once had in a wonderful restaurant here in the area. It closed down because I don't know why. I won't venture a guess as to why. But Chesapeake Bay, for those of you that have been in the area for long, you would remember Chesapeake Bay. It's a seafood house. And in this arena of all-you-can-eat food, whatever you ordered on the menu, whatever line it was on or whatever the price was, you could reorder that again and again and then anything below it in price. So you get shrimp or you get chicken that was there at the Chesapeake Bay Seafood House, or you get all these different types of fish and all these kinds of things. And then whatever is that price or less, you could reorder it. They had the best hush puppies. I really struggle with anyone else's hush puppies because I always equate them back to Chesapeake Bay. Say, Pastor, why are they no longer around? Maybe because they served all-you-could-eat food and we weren't paying enough to keep eating all-you-could-eat food. I don't know. But here's why I liked it. When you ordered it, then they'd go back and see, it hadn't been sitting out on the buffet for long. It was supposedly fixed for you fresh. So they bring you a fresh bowl of, and you fill in the blank, whatever it was. Oh, man. Many a good times were spent at Chesapeake Bay. It was a very special thing for the Abbey kids to be able to go to Chesapeake Bay. Man, we love that place. But here's what would inevitably happen. We'd walk out of there going something like this. I don't want to see any more fish for the rest of this year. If someone even talked about shrimp, we were like, oh, I don't even want to think about it anymore. We'd walk out and we just are, oh. You know, the Bible gives a very strong picture here of someone who's stuffed with their own provisions. They've lived life in such a way to say, look at all I've done. Could I say it this way? They are absolutely full of themselves. We find an illustration of this in Luke chapter 12, verses 16 to 21. I'll use the illustration here from Luke chapter 12 because that's six chapters away. We're probably looking at 2025 before I come to it in text. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Can't you see this guy? He's stuffed with himself. I'm full. I've got all that I need. What else could I desire? He's stuffed. And yet Almighty God says, woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Matthew chapter 24, verses 38 and 39. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. These people in the days of Noah were stuffed, but they were empty when the rain started to fall. In 1969, in the state of Mississippi, a group of people were preparing for a hurricane party in the face of the storm named Camille. Were they ignorant of the dangers? Could they have been overconfident? Did they let their egos and pride influence their decision? We will never know. But a few hours before that hurricane came upon shore, a police officer pulled up outside of that apartment building, and he beckoned everyone out and said, listen, it's coming. You need to understand the nature of this hurricane and the damage that it will do. And they came out with their drinks and with their food and said, no, we're going to celebrate it to the very end. And that police officer began to write down their names, all 20 names of the people that were going to celebrate the hurricane. That hurricane made shore with winds upwards of 205 miles per hour. I don't need to tell you this, but everything but one little boy was destroyed in that apartment building. And the next day they came back and found all the bodies of individuals that had been given the warning, and they said, no, we're going to party on and embrace the nature of this hurricane. You know, as I look around society, I find an awful lot of people that are full. But the day's coming when they'll be hungry. Number one, we find here in the passage, there is a warning against the pursuit of material possessions. Number two, here in the passage, in verse number 25, there's a warning against the presumption of provisions. Would you notice verse number 25, the latter part? There is a warning against the perpetual mocker. The Bible says in verse number 25, woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. What do we find in this perpetual mocker? The Bible tells us, first of all, that they mock sin. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 9, fools make a mock at sin. I cannot believe that I'm going to say this, but I cannot believe that I heard this. This lady is sitting on a platform, and she's being interviewed, and she's telling the interviewer how she rejoices over the fact that she's had multiple abortions. So much so to the point where individuals now are clamoring to shout your abortion. My heart is so heavy for those that have been bought into that thought that it's just a piece of skin or it's just something that can be cast off, and the reality sets in and they realize, listen, that was a soul, a living being. And they begin to repent and seek the forgiveness of God because they once participated in aborting a life. And let me say this morning that for those that have done that, there is forgiveness at the foot of the cross. But I cannot believe in this day that there are people that are out there praising the fact that they've taken lives like that and making a mock at sin. We find through the book of Psalms, again and again in the book of Proverbs, we find the types of individuals that just mock the nature of sin. They mock the nature and the effects of sin. Fools make a mock of sin. They not only mock sin, but they mock the saints. They mock the saints. They mocked Noah. They mocked Elijah. They mocked Elisha. They mocked Daniel. They mocked the disciples. And my friend, they mocked the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not be surprised that the mocker will follow the disciple of Christ and the one that is following the Word of God. When you begin to delineate the nature of your desire to follow the Word of God, and neighbors begin to hear that, and the news media begin to hear that you're following the Word of God and raising your children after the Word of God, you're so old-fashioned. I can't believe that you'd follow that book. I can't believe that you'd go after that book. I mean, that's nothing but a bunch of bunk. They mock sin. They mock the saints. And of course, they mock the Savior. Psalm 14 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." I've got news for them. I have news for everyone that's mocking the Lord Jesus Christ, that's mocking Christianity today. It's not just around the world. It's right here in America. I've got news for them. There is an eternal word that is given in Philippians chapter 2 and verses 9 through 11 that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and confess that He is Jesus Christ, the Lord. To the glory of God the Father. My friend, I'm telling you right now, every name that comes into your mind's eye that is mocking and defaming sin, the saints, and the Savior, right now, understand, their knee will bow to the glory of Almighty God. Do you ever get so frustrated and angry at what they're saying? My friend, one day their knee will bow. The sad truth is, the Word of God gives us further details on the nature of their knee bowing, and it says in Revelation chapter 20 and verses 11 through 15 that all will stand before that great white throne judgment. And all these that have mocked all of this stuff as it relates to sin and the saints and the Savior, all those individuals will be called before the great white throne of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that time He will say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." Luke chapter 6, "Woe unto you that laugh now." There's a couple that's trying to honor God in their marriage relationship. There's a family that's trying to honor God and training up their children. Ah, man, those kids, they're going to live in the dark ages for crying out loud. Okay. All right. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. The Bible details for us the warning against the pursuit of material possessions. The warning against the desire or the presumption of possessions or provisions. It gives us a warning against the perpetual mocker. And then the fourth one that's given here in verse number 26 is the warning against the pleaser of men. Woe unto you, when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 1, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. John chapter 12 verses 42 and 43, nevertheless among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers. 3 John in verse number 9, the apostle John says unto the church, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. There are all kinds of individuals that are out there with the desire to be a pleaser of men. Can I just kind of walk up through the stages of life and speak to each one this morning? Young people, do not seek to be a pleaser of men. Be a pleaser of God. So far as we know from the historical record, there were three individuals are mentioned, but four individuals from the entirety of the book of Daniel that did not bow the knee to Nebuchadnezzar's whims. Three of them were, as the Word of God tells us, there when he built that giant statue and said, bow the knee or suffer the consequences. And they said, no, king, we're not even careful to answer you in this matter. We will not bow the knee, even if it costs us our lives. Young people, do not fall into the trap of being a pleaser of men. Be a pleaser of Almighty God. To all the adults that are gathered here in the auditorium, you know, we could look to the kids and we say, boy, that's great truth for the kids. But don't we often find ourselves falling into the same trap? Oh, I don't want to upset anyone at work, so I won't take my Bible. Oh, I don't want to upset the apple cart, so I won't invite anyone to revival. I want to make sure that I get along with everybody in the neighborhood, and so I won't ask anyone to come or invite anyone or share the gospel or tell them that I even know Jesus Christ. You know, that's the desire to please men instead of to please Almighty God. Don't we understand this morning that the praise of men is fleeting? Doesn't it just change on a whim and almost on a dime? So many illustrations of this where people at one point in time are chanting the name of an individual and just praising and lauding glory and praise on that individual. And then the next day, and it almost seems like it's just so close together, I hate that guy. The praise of men is so fleeting. And God says, if you really want to do right, you be a pleaser of Almighty God and not a pleaser of men. Woe. Be aware. Exclamation point. This is a warning. Do not make material possessions your pursuit. Oh, they're nice. They're beneficial. But it does not become my pursuit. Do not presume on your personal provisions. Oh, I've got everything provided. I'm full. I have need of nothing else because of what I've done at my own hands. I'm stuffed with my own abilities, if you would. Woe to that one who would presume upon their personal provisions. Woe to that perpetual mocker. Woe to that pleaser of men. As I close this morning, would you take these four And would you make one or more applications in your own life? Boy, Pastor, I need to heed the warning from deity on that matter of possessions. They've become my pursuit. Boy, I need to take that warning on that matter of provisions and thinking that it's all from my own hand, that I can do whatever I have to do to make it happen. No, my friend, we must trust in Almighty God. If you are that perpetual mocker, and you just mock those that participate in sin, and you just find yourself mocking that one that would seek to be doing right, know this, my friend, that time of mocking will end. And in the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Would you put aside the praise of men? And would you, my friend, seek that day where you receive the praise of Almighty God? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's pray.